Welcome into K-State Online. I am Mason Voth. That is Drew Galloway. And as I promised everybody, we're talking football today because basketball is stressful, not very fun. So don't pay attention to anything that's going on there. We fortunately made it about 24 hours without any kind of breaking news or significant movement. Although I would say if you're thinking, oh, okay, things are maybe calming down, they're not. Head over to KSO, get signed up if you're not. Derek Young has some nice, insightful hints as to what might be coming next for K-State basketball over there. But there's also plenty of football coverage because earlier today, some of the players met with the media. So Andrew Langang and Avery Johnson, I know, talked to some people, and you can go see that on the KSO YouTube. But our focus today on the football front is going to come with the receivers, Drew, because this is a position that it feels like for essentially the last, I mean, you give me the years that you have put on this, but it feels like we've been doing this same thing over and over and over again, where it's, hey, this receiver group, like, this is what I like. This, they might come through. It might be more than just a one trick pony here. Is that going to be the case for 2025? Because it certainly wasn't in 2024, where once again, it was Jace Brown and a bunch of tight ends.
It feels like we've done this song and dance every year. I'll even venture to say, like, since 2015.
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like we're going on a decade now. 2014 is the last season where it's like it was legit. And now since 2015, it's just like throwing something at the wall and seeing what sticks every game.
What is interesting, though, is like post-2014, like there's been some solid receivers that have came in, but like as a group, it has kind of felt like they've underwhelmed. But you look at this next group that's coming in for 2025, and it's an interesting group because they completely gutted the roster at receiver. Like they brought in three high school receivers, a junior college receiver, with JD Davis, three high school receivers, a junior college receiver, and then three transfers. It's like they completely gutted it. So you look at that and you're like, okay, what does K-State do from here? We know that Jace Brown is a stud. You'd like to see him take a step forward more in the consistency, because I think that all of his touchdowns were in three games of the five touchdowns.
Yeah. Oklahoma State, Colorado, and Iowa State.
And two of them came in that game against Iowa State. So you'd probably want a little bit more consistency from him. But the thing that they're not lacking, and it's really interesting to note because K-State has had some shorter receivers come in the past, like we all know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of height in this room now. Caleb Medford over 6 foot. Jaren Bradley is 6'5". Jerron Tibbs is 6'4". You're going to have a lot more guys that can kind of go up and get it and make a contested catch. And we've talked about this. We talked about this when I think it was Jerron Tibbs committed. One of our favorite throws of the season from Avery Johnson was the back shoulder throw to Keegan Johnson against Houston. With these bigger guys, you would expect that K-State will be able to do that more. And I know that it's practice. I know that it's still the spring. If you look at what K-State posted yesterday, it was all the Avery Johnson highlights throwing. And would you say that 90% of them were contested catches that were in that clip?
Yeah, that's probably accurate.
Those are going to be guys that I think can go up and make contested catches because they're big, tall, have strong hands. I mean, Jaren Bradley looks like a freak of nature out there because he's so big. And K-State has never had receivers that are that tall that have really been able to do anything. So the hope is that you can get Bradley back to his form that he had at Texas Tech. Tibbs is a guy that when he initially committed, I was like, okay, like he played at Purdue. Like what next? But you look at that, a lot of his yardage came in Big Ten play and you're like, okay, he's still pretty young. Can he continue to take a step? Caleb Medford to me is the one that's the wild card of the transfers. Like, I don't really know what to think of him because he had literally zero production at TCU. And then transfers down to New Mexico, becomes really just a big play guy. So if you're looking at Caleb Medford, it is a positive season for him making like two or three splash plays on the season. Like, I don't think that that's like a crazy thing to really say that that could happen either. Man, that catch was the one that was the most impressive, I thought.
Yeah, the video is certainly enlightening into what these guys can do. And I think, you know, 2022 is probably the closest we've seen K-State come to having the entire wide receiver room. Like, the pecking order is clearly defined. Everything's figured out there. And you're not worrying too much about, like, production, because Malik Knowles came close to, for the most of the year, reaching his potential. Phillip Brooks was sturdy. Cade Warner was huge in that group. But it still, you know, it felt like you were still waiting on a little bit more. And the way things have been talked about, you probably didn't get as much as you had wanted over the course of those guys' careers. Now you come into this situation. We know Jace Brown. He's gotten better each and every year. You're right. The touchdowns, you'd probably like for them to be spread out a little bit more. And one of those receiving touchdowns was, you know, the little pitch on the sweep at Colorado that it still counts. But yeah, you'd like to see that spread out a little bit more, but it feels like he could be somebody that ends up with a 1,000-yard receiving season this year. And then for the other guys, it's going to come down to, is Tibbs ready to stop being an underclassman? And now is his third year of college football, is he going to be ready to do more than what he did last year? Because, you know, while I was putting this together, I was a little surprised to see that his production was a little bit lesser than Keegan Johnson last year. And I thought, if Jerron Tibbs comes in and has the same type of year that Keegan Johnson had last season, that might leave some people disappointed. And then Jaron Bradley on that side, only 6 catches last year at Boston College, but we know he reunites with Matt Wells now, who had him at Texas Tech.
And Boston College also was a disaster at quarterback.
Yeah, they were. Well, and obviously so was Purdue. I mean, Hudson Card was their quarterback. Yeah. They were the worst team in the Big Ten. Like, yeah, that two atrocious situations for those guys. And then I like what you said about Medford, where that's just one of those where he's a better version of what I perceived Jaden Jackson to be. And I don't even know that this was like the intention with Jaden Jackson, but I always thought Jaden Jackson, he's just going to randomly pop off a big touchdown catch or two over the course of the season, but like not a reliable receiver. But you don't necessarily need guys like that to be. You do need the occasional, hey, if you're going to be the fourth or fifth receiver for us and you've only got a year of eligibility or whatever it is, we need you to just pop a big one every once in a while. Do something that can make a difference. We don't need another guy that can catch 3 balls for 27 yards in a game. Like, we got a bunch of dudes that can do that. We can scheme guys to do that. Can you make a big play for us? So I think that's where Medford comes in. And it's going to be, you know, I'm not worried about Jace Brown. I think he takes another step. I think he and Avery Johnson both continue on their trajectory. It's just going to come down to Tibbs and Bradley. And if this new situation is going to lead to them being in a better spot, it also comes down to, you know, how pass happy is the K-State offense going to be compared to last season?
Yeah, that will definitely determine it. I'll play a fun game with you on April 16th, and then we can ask this again right before K-State plays in Ireland after we hear a little bit more. What is a benchmark for you on Jace Brown yardage?
For just
receiving yards this upcoming season,
for the entire season.
Yes.
I mean, I already threw out that I thought, you know, 1,000, I think, should be in the realm of possibility in this scenario. I mean, I think he has to at least get to 900. Like, that should be the baseline. You look at what he's done the last 2 years. 437 yards as a true freshman on 27 catches last year. He came close to doubling that on 20 more catches, 823 yards. Like, he should be a 900-yard receiver now. And I think if Avery Johnson's gotten better and he's clearly, you know, the number one target here, I think that he should probably be, you know, 900 for sure. 950 would be a really good season, obviously, and 900 is a good season. But I think you want to see it get to at least 900. If he does basically the same thing he did last year, it will be mildly disappointing. And that's not like – that shouldn't be a shot to Jace Brown. It's just I expect more to come from him than what we saw last year because he's a year older and he keeps getting better.
No, I think that 900 is a good benchmark. I bring that up because I think that if Jace Brown is like that 900 to 1,000-yard receiver kind of guy, that you'd think that that would probably open things up more for Jerron Tibbs and Jaren Bradley later on in the season because there is going to be more attention on Jace Brown. So that's where those two can really help ease Brown's usage a little bit because he's probably going to be seeing a little bit more double teams than he's probably used to. And that's where I think that I talked about it earlier. Those two guys' heights will really come into play if it's a one-on-one situation.
Yeah.
Because there's a chance that if you look at what K-State has right now, Jace Brown is a guy that we think can get to 1,000 yards and be the first one since Tyler Lockett and Curry Sexton in 2014. So we talk about that. So he's probably going to get a lot of attention. Everyone in the Big 12, at least, knows that K-State had four different tight ends score a touchdown. Mm-hmm. You would anticipate more teams will try to take away the tight ends and take away some stuff over the middle. Well, what does that leave? That leaves Jaren Bradley and Jerron Tibbs, who could both be in one-on-one coverage. And you're just hoping that those two guys can keep taking steps and then just make plays when they're relied on.
So the other thing that I want to throw into this on the topic of Jace Brown and then, you know, maybe more of like target share stuff for the offensive or for the offensive weapons this year. Last year, Jace Brown in the Big 12 checked in at 12th in receiving yards in the conference. Of guys that were in the, let's just go, of guys that were in the top 20 of receiving yards in the Big 12 last year, Jace Brown was tied for the second least amount of catches amongst those guys. He and Kobe Hudson at UCF were 12 and 13 receiving yards. Both had 47 grabs. The only guy in the top 20 with less catches than them was Darius Lassiter at BYU, who was 20th. He had 45 catches for 700 yards. The guys above them, so the top 10 receivers in the Big 12, their catch totals last year, Tetero McMillan, 84 catches, Travis Hunter, 96, Jalen Noll, 80, Jaden Higgins, 87, Jordan Tyson, 75, Jack Besh, 62, Josh Kelly, 89, LaJonte Wester, 74, Dejon Stribling, 52, and Caleb Douglas, 60. Stribling is the closest to the number that Brown is. In this situation where we're talking about yardage totals, I think there also should be a number of catches that Jace Brown has where, yeah, some of that's on him, but also it's just like the offense kind of needs to force feed their pigs sometimes. And you can Colorado obviously did it with Travis Hunter. He had 96 catches last year in 13 games and really, you know, 12. He missed some time there with the injury. Like, what should the number of catches Jace Brown has next season be? Like, what's the target number for the K-State offense?
I think at a minimum, if we're talking him getting 900 or 1,000 yards, he probably needs to get 55 catches or more. And some of that, you can just scheme him up because right now Jace Brown has been a really good big play guy. But you can always give it to him on screens. Like, we saw him get a reverse against Rutgers in the Rape Bowl, and he looked really explosive with the ball in his hands. So I think that you can get him open and just give him some stuff underneath and let him try and make a play and make a guy miss. We know Matt Wells likes a good wide receiver screen. I anticipate that Jace Brown will get some of those. And you anticipate more of those because you would think, not just because Matt Wells likes to call them up, but Jaren Bradley and Jerron Tibbs are both pretty good blockers on the perimeter. At least they were at their old schools. So you'd expect more passes underneath to get those guys and let them block and have Jace Brown, who's explosive, get the ball and go. So I'd say 55 is probably like the minimum. But if he gets close to like that 60 mark, I would be kind of disappointed if he gets 60 catches and not 1,000 yards.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I don't know the quick math on that. I can do it real quick here. That'd be like a little, that's over 60 and a half yards a catch, which would be right around the number that Jace Brown's been in his career. He was his freshman year 16.2, last year he was 17.5. And as we know, the touchdowns were all big ones essentially. The one against Colorado that we talked about doesn't really count in what I'm referencing, but his touchdowns, he had a 55-yard catch against Oklahoma State, the 50-yarder against Colorado, and then 65 against Iowa State. And then the other one was no cheapie either. And that was, I mean, we talk about the back shoulder to Keegan Johnson in Houston. Is that probably Avery Johnson's second or third best throw of the year? Because Jace Brown at Colorado would have to be in there. But the first touchdown he threw in Ames, I would probably put up there. Because that was good work by him.
That's definitely up there, because not only was it a great throw, that was a fourth down, I believe. It was a fourth and short, and K-State threw a bomb to Jace Brown. So I would say that's probably his third best throw of the season.
Go ahead.
You kind of look at Jace as he's been a big play guy, so you'd expect with a little bit more catches that might go down a little bit, but those are the kind of guys that you need to get more targets.
Yeah, I think if he took a 17.5 yard average, he needs 58 catches to get to 1,000 yards this coming season. I think that should probably be the target then. There is you know what it takes for Jace Brown to be a 1,000 yard receiver based off last season. You say we need to get him at least 58 catches. So, you know, however the target number ends up working out there. And if you go and look through at a lot of these guys, that was the goal last year. I mean, only in the top 10, like I referenced in the Big 12, Stribling was the only guy that didn't have 58 catches in the top 10 of receiving yards last year in the Big 12. So you gotta feed the guys that are going to make plays for you. But then in addition to that, we've mentioned Tibbs, we've mentioned Bradley. How confident are you that they are going to be the ones that fall in line to be reliable number two, number three receivers this upcoming year? Or are you thinking somebody else on the list there is going to step up and play a big role?
Yeah, I'd be really surprised if those weren't the top four wide receivers this coming season. That fifth spot, though, is kind of wide open. It could be J.D. Davis. It could be Larry Porter. It could be Jaquiz Bradley-Demps. So that's what I'm looking forward to really in the fall, because we've talked about it. This spring is just kind of install. It's more OTAs in like the NFL than it is actual practice right now, because you have so many guys sitting out because they had off-season surgery, or K-State just doesn't want them to practice. Like Dylan Edwards didn't practice at the open practice yesterday because of load management. So like, you never know what you're going to get when you see a spring practice. So because of that, like the wide receiver five and six, like where all that kind of ends up being, it is something I'm really looking forward to hearing more about in the fall when the bullets are really flying. Because anymore, when you're talking about the spring, it is almost exclusively doing more things like OTAs, and then you're hearing stuff about how much muscle everybody is putting on in the lead up to the spring, the actual spring practice.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, you know, is this the year where you get a reliable number two and three, and like everything kind of falls into place as people are talking right now? That's really the thing. And again, I like the potential of Tibbs. The Bradley thing, I'm a little bit more, because there's just been some up and down there in his career. But again, the size is a big deal. K-State has not had a ton of size out there at receiver. I know a couple of years ago, may have been 2 years ago, and I probably deleted it trying to free up storage somewhere in like my Google Drive. But I put together basically a list where I was looking at the height of all the receivers in the Big 12 and where K-State stacked up there, because I thought that was kind of a weak spot for him. And I look around at the rest of the league, and I see all these different receivers that I like from these different teams, and I go, oh, most of these guys are much taller than what I see producing for K-State. So having that height is a big advantage, and now we'll see if it comes through. Last thing I'll ask you. We talked about the target number or the target reception number that we want Brown to get at, not the actual targets, because that'll vary.
He's going to catch every single ball that comes his way.
Okay, well, we'll pencil him in for 90 grabs next year. So I think we say 60 should be the goal. You want Jace Brown to catch the ball 60 times next year if everything goes right. Beyond that, with a true number two and number three receiver, what do you think the goal should be for guys like Tibbs and then Bradley or whoever ultimately ends up being that third guy?
That's where it's tough, because we don't know how much K-State is going to throw the ball. I would say whoever ends up being the wide receiver two, you're probably hoping that they get like 30 to 35 catches. And then the three, like 20 to 25. Like, because that's where it's just hard, because we don't know how much K-State is going to throw. We do know that they're going to throw the tight ends a lot. We do know that the running backs are going to get targets too. So I'd say like in that both of them and like that mid 30s for the two and then like high 20s, low 30s for the three would be a great season for both of those. Like if you can get that out of the two and three.
Last year, K-State, on their passing versus rushing splits, they ended up being right over 45% of the time they were throwing the football. Now that's plays that actually resulted in throws, which I think is important here, given that, you know, we're talking about guys catching the ball. If it's supposed to be a pass, but Avery Johnson runs, well, then Jace Brown's not catching the ball on that play. Based on how this offense shapes up, because DJ Giddens is not on the roster anymore, and you're going to have, you know, guys that are a little bit more of a finesse type running back in Dylan Edwards and Joe Jackson, and knowing Matt Wells has made the comment before, you want to throw to score and run to win and all this other stuff. Do you think K-State is more of a true 50-50 this year? Is it still going to be probably that 55 run, 45 pass?
I think it's probably going to be pretty close to 50-50. The other thing that I've kind of noticed in watching some of the open practice videos, it also appears that K-State's going under center a little bit more. So that'll be something to really kind of figure out, because I think that's something that could really open up the passing game just as a whole, because you go under center. Avery Johnson was really, really good in play action last year. You have a good big play receiver. You have two big body receivers. You have tight ends. You can even sneak a running back out to play action. So I think that 50-50 and even going under center more makes a lot more sense for what this team can do.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be fascinating to see how it breaks out, because we just won't know, like, how different will the pace, the play calling be for Matt Wells. I don't think it's going to be a drastic change, but I think there will be noticeable differences, and we're just not going to know, I guess, where to pencil things in numbers wise. But I think there are some things to keep in mind and like to target for these players. And you're hoping that this is the year that the reset with wide receivers actually pays off and somebody steps up. Like we thought, you know, Keegan Johnson essentially was brought in to be kind of that guy, and it never really panned out that way. He was fine, but this is the thing that I think people forget sometimes, is that just because somebody comes in and they're okay doesn't mean they did what they were supposed to do. You know, like I do stuff around the house all the time. You know, my wife's going to get home. I'm going to tell her I unloaded the dishwasher. She's like, okay, that's great. But like, that's kind of bare minimum work around the house. Did I hang up the clothes? Nope. Did not do that yesterday. Had to be told to do that. You know, did I take the recycling off the top step? Nope. Did not do that. Had to be told to do that. Like, just because I did one thing that's good that I should do doesn't make up for the other things that I wasn't able to do because she had that expectation for me. I would compare it essentially to, not to the same extent because it was much louder, but like the Coleman Hawkins thing. There are the people that are like, well, you know, this is what he did at Illinois. So what is he supposed to do here? Well, Coleman Hawkins and K-State, when they married last summer, the idea was not that Coleman Hawkins was going to be the same player he was at Illinois. He was going to get more opportunities to be an even more productive player than that. Now, should Coleman Hawkins be faulted for that? Absolutely not, because he put out 4 years of college basketball that said, this is the player I am. And he came to K-State, and look, he didn't live up to probably what he thought he was going to be. And yeah, you put more of that on the coaching staff because they're the ones that made that decision to give a player that had been this guy for 4 years. And maybe you shouldn't assume that a guy in his fifth year of college basketball is going to take a big leap to be that guy. But like, that's where I view the Keegan Johnson thing, where the expectations for him were greater, and part of K-State's struggles in that area were because he didn't meet what the expectations from coaches or fans, or probably even himself when he got to K-State, ended up being. But that doesn't mean that like he's wrong for it. And certainly like Coleman Hawkins, like, I don't think you fault him for the way that he played in most of these games. I think it's pretty clear he did it pretty close to what he could physically in some of them. But now that's what you're looking at this year is Jerron Tibbs, is Jaron Bradley, are they going to be those guys that the expectation is there for them to make this bump up or make this difference, and they're actually going to hit at that? Or are they just going to be whatever and be what they've been their entire career? And if they're that, it's disappointing, but it's not their fault, I would say.
And that's also where I think that it's different than even the Keegan Johnson situation, because I don't think that they're bringing Tibbs and Bradley in thinking that they need to be superstars, because I think that they think that they have one with Jace Brown.
That probably helps.
Where, like, I think it's going to be easier for Tibbs and Bradley to meet those expectations, because I think that they're just looking for guys that are solid twos and threes, because last year the passing game wasn't very consistent because, number one, Jace Brown was a little bit inconsistent, but number two, Keegan Johnson and all the other wide receivers that K-State was throwing out there, because there was a lot, just kind of struggled to get open and do anything either. So I think that if they can come in and just be steady, that's all that they really need to do right now.
Yeah. All right. That'll do it for today. Our talk on the receivers and everything to look forward to there. And we'll do some more of this over the coming weeks and get everybody looking forward to football season, as that's the exciting thing going on in Manhattan right now. We'll have plenty of coverage over at kstateonline.com in the buildup to not just spring football finishing up, official visits getting ready to come, but also when everybody takes off and heads over to Ireland for the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. If you want to make sure that you're over there watching the Cats and Clones for Farmageddon this year, cats2ireland.com is your best option right now to make sure that you get your airfare, you get great experiences in Ireland outside of just going to the football game. But yeah, tickets will be included in all of that too for the game that takes place on August 23rd. In the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. So go to cats2ireland.com. Drew, we finish with your Ireland fun fact for the day.
So when you think of wallabies, where do you think that wallabies are most likely found?
I feel like I would say Australia.
There are wallabies in Ireland.
Interesting.
Yeah, on Lambay Island, it says that they're are more than 100 wallabies that roam the island there. And it's off the Dublin coast, and it has a whole colony of wallabies. There's 100 there, and they just got to do their own thing. I didn't know that wallabies were in a thing anywhere outside of Australia.
Okay. I see. Now this says that this island is owned by a fan. It's a private estate owned by a family, and that they introduced wallabies in the 50s and 60s. And now they've got around 30 to 50 living there. So I don't know that we're going to be able to enjoy the wallabies, are we?
I mean, probably not, but felt like a good fun fact because I was like, no.
We're on the
wildlife train.
Yeah, take your binoculars, and maybe you can look across the water and see the island there. Yeah, what I read here is that...
I don't think I've ever seen a wallaby in real life.
No, but I didn't realize that it basically is like a shorter and stubbier kangaroo is what it kind of resembles. But says that they're native to Australia and New Guinea, but then populations were introduced in New Zealand. Makes sense, right there next to Australia, Hawaii, and the UK, and some other countries. So they do belong to the same taxonomic family as the kangaroos. So kangaroos are specifically categorized into four largest species of the family. Wallaby is an informal designation generally used for any macropod that is smaller than a kangaroo or a wallaroo that has not been designated otherwise. Okay, interesting. So that's a little wallaby action there for you. And it's a good way to end it out. My favorite animal fun fact that we've done so far for Ireland. So I look forward to probably not seeing them, but knowing that they're out there way yonder in the water somewhere on that private island near Dublin. So maybe you'll catch a glimpse of it if you're lucky by going over there with cats2ireland.com. I don't know. You'll have to figure it out for yourself. For Drew Galloway, I'm Mason Voth. Thanks for watching K-State Online. We are back again tomorrow. We'll talk some more football, hopefully. Please don't do anything dumb basketball. We want to talk football tomorrow.